Welcome back to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. On today's show, we have the man, the myth, the legend, Brian Amundson of Pacific Lamp Wholesale in Oregon. Brian began his career in the lighting industry with Pacific Lamp Wholesale in 2009. I remember meeting him at a convention around then, a nailed convention. I saw him there with the old owner of Pacific Lamp. He was there, the old guy. Before Pacific Lamp, he sold radiant floor heating, solar electric, and solar water systems. That is how he got started working with utility rebates and tax credit programs. Pacific Lamp founder Dave Junkin, that's the man. That's the man, the myth, the legend, actually.
Yeah.
A founding member of Nailed came out of retirement. And Brian was the first person he hired after his son decided to do another line of work. Dave took him under his wing and taught him everything he knows about the business. Brian purchased the company from him in 2019. Brian would like to see more sustainable lighting and better standards of uniformity, and would like to contribute to making the lighting industry a better place with more collaboration between manufacturers and distributors to give the end users better quality light fixtures. He would love to see higher end lines manufactured in the US again, wouldn't we all? And Canada too, sucker. He is a huge advocate for dark sky friendly and animal friendly lighting that has purpose with the correct color and distribution based on the application. He thinks that he was also the chairman of the Dark Skies Committee for Nailed as well. It doesn't say that here, but that's for sure true. And put out a big letter to the industry that shook up the industry a ton. He thinks the key to success is building relationships and selling quality products, not chasing rebates. The rebates should be the cherry on the top. Yeah, I know. 25 years of rebates for me, Greg. I'm fortunately a total addict. I'll raise my hand. Fully addicted to rebates. He has been married to his wonderful wife, Angie, and they have 3 children. Brian loves the outdoors and does a lot of camping, traveling, fishing, skiing, dirt bike riding, and enjoys anything fast that gets the blood flowing. He leads a very healthy lifestyle and works out regularly and tries to eat a healthy diet. Except for all that booze he drinks when he hangs out with us. He's good. But before we get to Brian Amundson, we got to go to Light Thing, Right Thing, Greg, the gangsters of New York. Satco, go to SATCO.com, baby. That's Satco, Light Thing, Right Thing.
Hey, over 1.5 million square feet of inventory they have throughout North America. I have about 3,000 square feet here. They have 1.5 million. That tells you they have a lot of light bulbs. And I just, right before this call here, our podcast, somebody asked me, hey, where can I get an orange LED A19? Satco's got them. You know, every time something comes up that you don't know who has it, Satco's got it. And they've got multiple versions. They've got everything you need. So we could pick one product from Satco, but why when they have thousands and they're all awesome? Check them out.
Go to SATCO.com, the gangsters, that's right, of the lighting industry, Satco. You know, the thing is, I have about 4,000 square feet here. But the funny thing is, their warehouse looks exactly like mine, except it's way bigger.
Way bigger.
It's way bigger, but it looks exactly the same. And of course, Brian, Michael, Greg, Satco, and most of the listeners of the show that have light bulbs in a warehouse are members of the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Yeah, we're talking about warehouses with light bulbs in them. If you have a warehouse with light bulbs in them and you sell them to end users, or you sell them to contractors, sell them over a counter, you sell them over the internet, you sell them on the phone, you take orders, and then you ship that stuff to people, you should be a member of the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. This is your association. This is your crucial shield. That's right. It's your guardian against all the programs that the government's trying to push down our throats and everything else. We're fighting back. We're the distributors. So go to NAILD.org. And we're not taking any prisoners, Greg Eric.
That's right.
Had it.
Get them.
What's up, Brian?
Come on, guys. It's a good statement. So, not going to get it at all.
Yeah, quite the intro there we gave you, but or us and all. That's what happens when you're with Nailed people. But let's, Mike gave a nice little overview of your history, but break it down for us again. What got you into lighting? When did you get in lighting? How are you at where you're at now? In your words, not in Mike's words.
Yeah, a lot of it, you started with, the recession. So I kind of stumbled into lighting, to be honest with you. I was looking to do something that was exciting. I'd already worked with utility and rebate programs in the solar world. And moved back to Portland from a small town in Oregon called Bend, reluctantly. And I met Dave Junkin through Craigslist. And that's how I got into lighting. And started building a lot of relationships and few years later, was able to strike a deal to purchase the company from him so we could continue to grow and help customers. And really, I've just kind of built my career on understanding the methods of how to deliver quality lighting products, whether it be leasing or utility rebates or just maintenance needs, you know, undercovering those driving needs and wants of the customer, and being able to partner with great manufacturers, utilize the relationships through Nailed, and put together great staff that we educate. We put most of them through the LS programs. And, you know, we just keep buying right and selling right and expanding our territories and creating, you know, it's a mix, right? End users, contractors, electrical contractors, maintenance people. You just have to be able to show them what they need and be competitive in the market. And this industry really helps because, you know, just the other day I called a Nailed member, or partnering a guy up north in Washington, and said, "Hey, I'm having trouble buying Phillips," and he helped me out. So, you know,
I know that guy.
You got lots of friends in the industry. It's been great. It's really you know, slingshotted my career, making me think outside the box, and fortunate to be able to just work with great people. And you know, another key to success for me is just looking down the road always. You know, being present in today, working on the tasks you have today, but always trying to take that 10,000 foot view of where you're at, where you're going to be. You know, none of us can, you know, read the future, but you sure as heck got a plan for it. So trying to be innovative and looking at emerging technologies and staying relevant.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned before you got in lighting, you were doing solar. So back in the mid-2000s, you were selling solar?
Yeah, approximately 2002 to 2008. I worked for a little company and really helped them grow. I built that through contractor and developer partners, home builders. We did primarily residential. He was a genius. He created his own systems for solar hot water heating. And then we did mainly 3 and 4 kilowatt solar electric systems. So doing a lot of that, working with a lot of really innovative home builders with straw bale homes, insulated concrete foam construction. And we were doing really great. And then 08 hit, just like everyone else. And then became a ghost town and forced me to come back to the big city of Portland. And, you know, but it helped me understand the programs and really what drives a lot of the business. I went from producing energy to saving energy. So it was a good transition for me. I do miss living in that area. It's really good for outdoor activities, but Portland's not bad.
Pretty weird.
Some of it's weird, yeah.
Yeah. Have you implemented solar in your lighting business at all with that background? And, you know, I've heard a lot of discussions where lighting distributors say, "Oh, maybe we should sell solar too." You would know. Do you? Should we? Where are we at?
We have a couple partners. I've decided that's not something I want to bring in-house because there are some pretty big players in the industry. But we've partnered with a couple people. We do bring them in. We've had a couple successful projects where we've been able to, you know, come in as a general contractor, do the lighting. You know, that is a thing that we do hold. We're a distributor at heart, but we do some turnkey projects like that. If people need some, it's another division of Pacific Lamp. So, it's something we're looking at. We're looking real hard at EV charging, starting to do some of that. I know there's a few other Nailed distributors been really successful. They have some a little bit better rebate programs than we do on it. But I think that's going to change here in the near future here. So we've got some good products that we're looking to start selling more of.
And one more solar related, just because I've always been interested in if it makes sense, is do you see the demand there? Is it now commercial buildings actually doing it in Portland or in whatever areas you're working in? Or is it still primarily residential? I can speak.
Are you talking
Minnesota.
About the solar or the chargers? Okay, yeah.
Solar. I'm sticking to solar for now. We can get into your chargers whenever, but solar first, and then we'll go Are you seeing the demand shift? Is it commercial buildings doing it, or have they been doing it for years and I've just been missing it here?
Definitely some. Yeah. I mean, the structure has changed as far as like tax credits and whatnot here, but there's still, I would say the most installations are residential, but there's some companies that are going after it really, really heavy. And they're doing a really good job. I mean, I think we're going to see an 18% increase in power through PGE this year. So it's going to be more and more important for anyone, I think, that's going to be in their house the next 10, 15 years. It really makes financial sense. You know, especially if you've already really tightened the envelope on your home or your building, you know, and you're planning on putting in, maybe you're an EV driver, maybe you plan on some of your employees or some of your customers. You know, I think it's a good thing to plan ahead. So in most cases, I think it makes financial sense for either a business or a homeowner. But I would say the residential market has penetrated much greater than the commercial market right now.
Solar panels are so ugly, though. They're so ugly. Like, it just makes your house look like crap. Like, I don't care what anyone says. Like, there's a solar dork over there with thinks he's a hot crap with his solar panels on his roof. Like, I mean, it just looks so dumb. Like, when you're driving along a road and you see someone with solar panels on their roof, it just looks stupid. I mean, I hate to say that. The you know all you know and not to disparage, you know, energy generation, but you know, there's something that's gonna hurt average income and lower income Americans about all this energy cost stuff, you know, that I don't like. You know, we need grid scale energy that's cheap. And right now, I know in most jurisdictions in the United States and where I am in Ontario, the government is artificially driving up energy costs in a lot of different ways. And I think that I'd love to call up Toronto Hydro or, you know, Pacific Gas and Electric and say, hey, you remember that mandate of creating cheap electricity? I only want to add one thing so people can use as much of it as they want to. I only get make it green too and get off the lighting industry's case and stop forcing people to put up all these solar panels and all that. Why don't you guys make cheap, green, clean electricity like we have in Ontario already or Quebec? You know, Ontario, Quebec have clean electricity, but there's a little rant for me. I don't like this idea of like everyone's got to generate their own electricity. It sounds like such a stupid idea. It's like grid scale energy is the way to go, and that's my opinion. Screw all y'all out there. Sorry, there's a rant, but let me ask you something. You know, you bought in 2019. You did you do it incrementally? Like, did you buy sections of the company, or was it one big transaction?
One transaction.
Okay.
Yeah,
And
inventory, the whole gamut. It was a full push in moment in my life. I'm sure you guys have had one of those. I call them the whys. You look back at your life, you have your pivotal moments in life where you took a path or another path. So
what are they
it
called,
was either
quads or
work on you.
pods? What did you
Why?
call them?
I call them whys.
Quads.
When you look back at your life,
Why?
you'll see the whys, right?
Why?
You're gonna take why? Exactly. You're gonna see one direction or another. So it was you know, go run a utility program. We won't go too deep into that, or buy Pacific Land. So
So you push those
I'm
chips across the table towards Dave Junkins and said, I'm in 100%.
in. Yeah, I don't really make decisions unless they're 100%. So I made a real educated decision. A lot of homework done on my end. Had to run the business, prove myself, and just decided it was a good move for the company. I've always been a company first person. You do well for the company, the company's going to do well for you. So, yeah, just pushed it all in and decided to make that move and keep all the wonderful people here employed, small business alive, and keep innovating, keep driving. And it was a good move on my part. Since
And
complete, we run Pacific Lamp pretty much debt free, and been able to we own all of our inventory, and pretty proud of that.
you don't have any business partners, it's just you.
Just me.
Congratulations, my man. That's fantastic.
Thanks, Michael. Right?
Yeah. So, and now Are you looking to expand? Like, where? What are you? What are your? What is your vision for the future? Like, you have a bit of a visionary edge to you. You've been through a lot of different kinds of businesses. You sold a lot of different things. What do you see for the future of Pacific Lamp?
Online space is going to be a huge one for us, not just for online sales, but just recognition of the Pacific Lamp brand, letting more and more customers nationwide know what we can do, experience our customer service that we have here in-house. We really tailor fit the needs of our customers. So I've got a guy that's, July kind of messed a lot up with legislation. You guys are all aware of the lamp bans and whatnot, and how fast the market's been progressing with SKUs. So I did a full scrub of all my online storefronts and our webpage. Found an innovative guy that worked for a completely different industry, actually an outdoor apparel company, which drove their business from, 600,000 to 7, 8 million within a matter of about 10 years. And so he's redeveloping all my online stores, found the right people to build all of my Amazon listings out. So right now we're just in reconstruction of all of our online stuff before we launch. So we have all active products and catalogs and collections, and I've done a lot of things wrong, built a lot of websites wrong, learned a lot. But I think we're doing it the right way now. So that's one part of it. Also looking at programs, across the nation that we can participate
Sure.
in. We're looking at all kinds of different clear result managed programs, just trying to tap into strategic markets,
Yeah, buddy.
which we started to do. So, and then just utilizing, the market that we're in. We're very fortunate here in the Northwest to have the Energy Trust of Oregon and the programs that they offer. A lot of changes since COVID. We lost a management company. We gained a different one. There was budgets that were blown. I think 2021 was the worst rebates we've ever seen, like $6,000 caps. No big projects made financial sense. But we still did well because we concentrate on, again, those relationships and delivering quality lighting solutions and products. And just thinking outside the box, we've joined a bunch of different organizations that we wouldn't think of. We've attended some different trade shows in the last few years. That's really ramped back up. Just trying to really be innovative and looking at hiring another salesperson this year, working on inventory and just getting rid of the old stuff, doing some two for ones. Making sure that all of our inventory is relevant. It's just a problem I think that all of us have, but just, really watching everything, putting together standard operating procedures for everybody in here so that when we do scale and grow, that we do it the right way. So that's what we're doing. I'm not looking to maybe have a couple small branches at some point in the next few years, but right now just concentrating on where I'm at and putting together the plan to hopefully, buy the building I'm in the next few years. And
Nice. Brian's such a big shooter now. We should check how much he paid in dues to Nailed, Greg. Just make sure we see what box he checked.
If he paid, we'll see that
Yeah,
too.
it
But
was
do you still, Brian, do you still have interactions with the original founder, Dave Junkin?
I do. Yeah, once a
Okay.
month he collects his lease payment. So, and we
Nice.
do lunch. We try to do lunch once a quarter. He's just a fantastic guy. He lives not too far from here, and he's just been a mentor and just a great, friend. And so he's got a cool theater room in his home, so we've been talking about years about having us over for a movie and utilizing his popcorn machine and whatnot. But yeah, just a great guy. We keep in touch and we had a lot in common. He was a race car driver for years, and I'm huge in the off-road, riding dirt bikes and side by sides and that sort of stuff. So we have a lot in common, but he still is very relevant. We had an employee, or he had an employee at Pacific Lamp years ago, a guy that probably all you guys know named Peter Brown, and
Sure.
him and Dave are best friends, and so that's how I built the relationship with Peter.
Get out of here! Get out of here, Peter Brown.
So the old docs, man. That's one thing I did when I first started in this industry is I found there was a guy, his name was Bruce Van Cleek. He was the original salesman at Pacific Lamp and in 1976. And I made it a point to eat lunch with him every day and just suck all that information out of him. And, you know, he's like a human catalog, could tell you every ballast factor there was and wattage and talking about all the PS217 power groove lamps and all the weird things that they used to do. And because when I got in, we were still doing, you know, T8 at 28 watt, 25 sure. watt, you know, low ballast factor, you know, high ballast factor, T12 to T8 or T8 to T8 with troffer kits and strip kits and all that. But it's still relevant because, you know, even today you can look at things from more of a retrofitting standpoint.
Sure.
You know, we do a lot of tubes. A lot of people don't like LED tubes. Or maybe they think it's not great, but for me, it's a sustainable practice. I mean, you put in tubes in a quality lighting fixture. Now you're keeping that fixture. You know, you're being able to maintain that fixture. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a time and place for controls and chip on board. And, you know, we do a lot of that stuff. I'm loving all the new Bluetooth mesh stuff. We're not dragging 0-10 volt wire, you know, all over the place and creating zones with power packs or however you do it. But We're getting ready to redo our entire warehouse and our facility here with a particular manufacturer. It's going to be pretty cool. And we're using another manufacturer to set up a whole bunch of light clouds to really take our showroom to the next level. There's a huge want right now, you know, for true smart homes, not just the flash in the pan, you know, color changeable bulb, you know, and all that. That's great. But, you know, true smart homes. You know, I really am a big fan of the Lutron, you know, products, Caseta, Radio Rod, and Homeworks. And so, you know, really pushing that side of the business. It's just an exciting time to be in lighting. It really is.
Do you guys do a lot of residential work?
We do quite a bit. I mean, it's not our bread and butter. But, you know, our will call drives a lot of business owners and high-end homeowners in here. So we've done quite a bit. I've done some pretty large-scale homes with commercial customers that were building them. You know, we can get our hands on just about any type of, you know, residential lighting line. And there's so much neat products out there. So, yeah, I've done quite a few Caseta and Radio Raw projects and you know, I've sold a Hubbardton Forge fixtures to a few people and, you know, some of the top end stuff that you see out there in the residential world. But we do a lot of, you know, multifamily, lots of condos and apartment complexes. But I really like the residential area just because it gives you a little bit of that design flair and you get to, you know, put a stamp on it. Sometimes, you know, it's not fun because you go back and forth with an interior designer or a very picky, you know, homeowner. But done some pretty cool projects. It's something I'd like to do more of. And I think we can be pretty competitive in that market. I just got to find the, you know, the right person. So we're setting up the showroom to be pretty cool. So
nice.
Sounds weird to me. So I got a new tagline for you. So you're in Portland. So you should change your Pacific Lamp tagline to "Keeping Lighting Weird."
That's pretty good. I can come up with a cool bumper sticker. Yeah. Yeah.
Keep lighting weird, Pacific Lamp.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned, Brian, earlier EV chargers. You actually see the play? Do you see the fit for lighting distribution? I see it on the contractor side all day. But on our side, as a distributor, what do you see? Give it to us.
I see it going through electrical, you know, electrical contractors. You know, it's not something that I think our bread and butter is going to be to going out to all the people that are going to put them in. I don't think it's going to see the traditional margin, you know, that we've all seen through lighting.
Right.
I think a lighting distributor is kind of out of place selling that, you know. You know, you might have some multifamily customers and whatnot that you're going to be the front end and you're going to, you know, either work with whoever they work with on the electrical side. But I think the the key to true success through that is building relationships with all of your electrical contractors in your area, and being the know-how and the source for quality EV, you know, whether it be a, you know, residential electrical contractor and you're selling quality products for a homeowner, or it's a level two, you know, that's most of the stuff you're going to see is the level two chargers that are going to go into, you know, small business parks, multifamily. The problem is, you know, and that's why you need to sell that through an electrical contractor, because it gets real complex depending on the age of the buildings and how much power they have and how are you going to get the power.
You got it. Sometimes you got to change that. Sometimes you got to change the switch gear. Like you got, because these cars have huge loads. Yeah. I think you're 100% right. The other thing with the, you know, I haven't been to a trade show since the LED boom really took off in 2015, 16. I kind of abandoned trade shows because it was like, I would go to all these trade shows and I'd be the only lighting guy there. Or maybe there'd be two lighting people at the trade show, manufacturer show, property manager show, whatever. Then 2014, 15 rolls around. There's a lighting section. You know what I mean? At the show. And there's like, you know, that's what it's like for the EV charging now. I went to a property management show before Christmas time. And there was two lighting guys there. One of the lighting was me and the other guy, and he had a charging station in front of his booth. He was talking about chargers. And I think there was 28 people selling electric vehicle charging stations at that show. So it's kind of in that same place where LED lighting was 10 years ago, where everybody's piling in because they think it's going to be a bonanza. And there's just, it's too crowded. There's too many people doing it. It's too technical. And I think you're right. Like maybe distributors can sell it on their website or have it in stock or have some components to sell. And it's a 10% markup, but you're not going to see the kind of margins you see in lighting. It's just, there's too many competitors out there. That's what I see anyway, Brian. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's a lot of uniformity. I mean, you know, I don't know everything about EV. I'm definitely not an EV expert, but you know, I do know that there's, you know, three major charge lines that are out there that are really leading the forefront. I think you're starting to see some uniformity with some of the plug stuff. You guys might know more about that than me, but you know, I have a couple guys that drive EVs at work here. But yeah, I mean, you're seeing a lot of these, you know, your lighting distributors that are coming in with their own EV chargers. So you got a lot of different brands. I think there's going to be a lot of fallout, you know, like we've seen, you know, with early LED. I mean, you're 100% right. I mean, you look at, you know, can we talk brands on here? I mean,
sure.
Can we say,
I think so. Or, you know, well, I remember, don't say anything bad about them.
But yeah, nothing bad. I mean, some of them, they're not even here anymore. So, you know, you look at like the chip on board going in HID fixture craze early on, you know, you had your Norvachis and your Decos and all these types of brands that were out there. And some of them had been around for a long time. They were, you know, maybe they were mismanaged or, you know, who knows what happened. They produced, you know, products that failed. But, you know, that's what you're going to see with the EVs. You're going to, some of these people are going to go to the wayside. And it'll get sucked up by some of the big guys. And, you know, you need to figure out kind of who that is. And, you know, we fortunately have some great brands that are, you know, distributor or manufacturer members of Nailed. I mean, Rab's got a great EV line coming out. Light Efficient Design has.
Yeah, they've got a good line. Yep.
Yeah, we sold some of their products. So, you know. It's only a matter of time before all the utilities get greater and greater rebates. You know, right now it's just kind of, as we get asked, we provide quotes and, you know, we've landed a few of them. It's not something that we're like going after, you know, full speed right now, but we're definitely educating ourselves and positioning ourselves. And it'll be a product that we sell online when we start to market, which I think will gain some traction, but. Yeah, it's an interesting time for EV.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. One other topic I think we should cover with you is because it's right on your homepage and you had a lot of action with it. You were episode 187, Dark Sky Compliance on Get a Grip on Lighting. That was in 2021. It's 3 years ago now, man. What's been new in the dark sky area in Oregon? Or have you been having projects as things come up? Has it been talked about more? Where are you at?
I like night preservation and darkness restoration a little bit more than dark sky. But
I get
sure,
it.
Let's talk about it. Sure.
I've only heard that every day. So I just like to get my going.
Yeah, we've definitely, I mean, I wouldn't say it's like something that the end users are pushing down our throat. It's you know, we've done a couple more projects on the Oregon coast. You know, and a lot of those fixtures are corrosion resistant because of the climate they're in. You know, and they do require 3000 Kelvin and glare free fixtures. We've done a lot of decorative lighting that's met those requirements. And then one of the ski resorts, they continue to buy dark sky friendly fixtures from me. And you know, I definitely won't name names there, but at some point in the near future, I believe they already actually have it with their newest edition of lighting. But they're lighting up more and more ski runs. They're going to take over North America's largest night skiing area. And pretty proud to be lighting that.
Yeah, cool.
So yeah, we've had really, really good luck with some of the super high wattage fixtures. We use glare shields, got the right optics on there, 3000 Kelvin. In that environment, they're not, you know, controlled. We don't have any kind of, you know, they're just photo cell controlled. And some of them run their building timers, but, yeah, when asked, we're all about it. I mean, we support it. You know, we're, you know, early on with LED, just like everyone else in roadway lighting. I mean, we all saw the 5,000 Kelvin craze. We're definitely specifying more and more 4,000 and below, on our exterior lighting. So we've had a huge calling which is kind of anti-productive to dark sky compliance, but you know, and studies have shown that lighting for security doesn't always make it a safer place. But I will tell you, since 2020 and some of the crisis that we've had here in Portland, Oregon, we've had more calls for additional lighting or increased light outputs. You know, because
watch
of security.
It.
Yeah, it's been tough.
Listen. I'm going to tell you this, all those people in Portland where you're all weird, keeping it weird out there, listen to me. Lighting is neither the cause nor the solution for criminal activity. Okay?
Like, I agree with you 100%.
Like, I mean, I people need to get this, you know, that's a axiomatic presupposition that I think is failed. But I want to ask you one more question here. Whenever I talk to Brian, and this is the, you know, he was on the board, I spoke to him a lot. But whenever we spoke about the industry, Brian seems to think in phases, Greg. You see what he talks about? He's like, we went through this 5,000K phase, and he's observing the lighting industry as someone who responds to customer desire. And, you know, when I talk to Mark Baker from Soft Lights and some of the other people that are really saying, why is the lighting industry not moving quicker on darkness restoration and glare issues and all this sort of stuff? It's like, well, from the distributor perspective, we don't have a lot of control. You know, we have to sell what the customer wants to buy. Like, we can't be walking away from sales. Pacific Lamp, you know, we can say to the customer, hey, you know what? You really don't need that light. It's not really going to make a big difference. Yeah, you want it? Okay, here you go. It's installed. Here you go. You know what I mean? Like, it's Brian's constantly responding to the market and what he sees the customers want. And I think that's what most good nail distributors do. They're watching the marketplace. They're looking at what residential wants. What are the commercial institutional properties in Portland want? They want more light because of some of the stuff that went on in 2020. Okay, how do we get them that? And then, you know, you can suggest dark skies, but you got to, well, the guy wants 5,000K. What are you going to do? Sell him the fixture, right? You're not going to say no to the deal. Brian, comment on that a little bit. Like, how long did it take you to get to that place where you could look in terms of phases and trends and look at an industry and say, yeah, this is surging right now. I want to hitch my cart to that horse now. You know, how did you get to that? How long did it take, and what was it that taught you to look at the industry like that?
I mean, that's a complex question, but, you know, I mean, I think my whole life I've always kind of looked at, you know, how can I be better? How can I kind of see something coming, right? Mm. You know, 2008 was the first time I ever really experienced great loss and disruption in what I've done, you know? So that taught me a lot of lessons to kind of, well, what are people going to need? You know, that's really what, you know, I kind of stumbled into lighting, but once I understood lighting, I understood it's something that needs to be replaced all the time. Needs to be maintained all the time. It needs to be aesthetically upgraded. So it started kind of my brain in this path of forward thinking or trying to understand where I'm going to be. after that next corner before the corner comes up. It's kind of like a race car driver or a guy that, you know, understands the driving fast. You're always looking, you know, two corners ahead or as far out there as you possibly can, not directly in front of you. So that's just kind of a way that I live my life and try to, teach everyone that works for me or that I work with is, you know, what's going to be better in the next generation? What are people going to want? Like, how are we going to do that? How are we going to collaborate to that? You know, so that's why I always make comments. I try to have an annual review with all my manufacturers and tell them, you know, about what we want. And, you know, hey, you made that Generation 3 change. Why'd you do it? You know, Gen 2 is awesome.
Mm,
you know,
and I totally agree. And there's time.
You know, like, yeah. You know, because sometimes the manufacturer will kill something.
Yeah.
I mean, right now I'm going through a big problem. I'm not going to name any names, but they had a fantastic product that's not, that we can't get in 3000 Kelvin anymore. Now it's wattage selectable and color selectable, but they chose 4 and 5000 and they left out 3 when that was a dark sky friendly fixture. Mm. What are you doing?
Yeah, what
are you doing? You know, you need to look at yourself in the mirror and make sure that you're delivering all the options, you know, and that's where we need to talk about forward thinking. Manufacturers need to be more forward thinking. They need to understand.
So do nations.
Well, yeah, a lot of people need to be more forward thinking.
Yeah, like what you're talking about, Brian, is really how everyone should manage their life. Like, that's how you stay married. That's how you stay out of bankruptcy. That's how nations stay out of wars and nonsense and crazy making. They don't look right in front of them. They look down the road and they say, you know what? What's the best thing that can happen? What's the worst thing that can happen? Right? Would I be willing to risk the worst case that I can see for a chance at the best case, knowing what the most likely thing is going to be? And there's so many people in our society. I mean, the province of Ontario is governed by looking right down in front of itself. Right. And here's Brian at Pacific Lamp. He's like 3 or 4 chess moves ahead. I mean, we need to, I really commend that, man. That is such a great, the way you put that is so succinct and correct. And it just translates perfectly in all types of areas of life for everybody. Everybody needs to think like that.
Yeah. You got to protect as a distributor, you know, like we have to protect ourselves and our companies first. And you know, that's what everyone will get from me. You know, I put Brian Amundson second because I know if, as long as Pacific Lamp and I'm driving this business, I'm thinking ahead and I'm creating opportunities.
But that's also putting Brian Amundson first at the same time. Like, you're like the two, there's no difference between those two things. And that's what, like, being, you know, we had an issue today. Okay, I had an issue where, I'm not going to say the manufacturer, but it's a type AB CFL. And you know, like the CFLs are kind of still an area that's not totally worked out, right? There's problems with CFLs. So the CFLs were starting on fire. Okay, literally. Okay. So I send a picture to the manufacturer and he writes me back and he says, well, it's probably the ballast is not on the compatibility list. I said, is there a fire compatibility list that you have? Like which ballast turn these lights on fire? Yeah, this one does. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, you know, everyone's like, what do we do? What do we do? I said, we take out all the lamps right now. We're going to take them all out right now, today. They're coming out right now as I'm talking to you guys. All the lamps are coming out of the 300 fixtures that are in that building right now. And then we're put in a type, you know, not AB. We're going to put in a type A for now and monitor it. And we're going to look at all those lamps and see if there's any burning or if there's a problem, if it's just a one-off, you know what I'm saying? But like when you govern yourself, in a way that you're doing unto others as you would have others do unto you, or whatever principle you're talking, this forward thinking principle, this is how you don't go bankrupt. This is how you don't get sued. This is how you keep customers after a bad thing happens. You don't run away. And when you say that, you know, I put Brian Amundson second and Pacific Lamp first, I think you're putting both first, actually, is the way I would interpret that. Because how is it that if Pacific Lamp succeeds, Brian Amundson doesn't? Like, those two things are totally aligned with one another.
Correct. It's just a mental space.
I understand.
You know, yeah. I wake up every day and I do a Peloton ride with a group. At 5 a.m., right? Nobody wants to wake up at 4:45 and get on a Peloton and ride 30 minutes, but it's a mental state you have to put yourself in. You know how it is. It's, you know, we're like geckos in this industry. We match the color and to our surroundings.
You mean chameleons, right? Chameleons.
Chameleons. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Well, you know, Greg gets up every morning at 4:45 and mixes himself a two dads Bloody Mary. He's dedicated to that. He's dedicated to that every morning.
What's cold there? So yeah.
Brian Amundson. Thank you so much for being a guest on Get a Grip on Lighting and for serving on the Nailed board for 5 years and being running all those fantastic committees that you ran. Thank you so much, my friend.
It's a pleasure. Anything Nailed needs, anything you two guys need, I'm always here. So it's a team effort. And I look at Nailed as a collaboration of like-minded individuals. So I'm a pleasure. I'm very, very fortunate to be involved with it. And I thank you guys for all the opportunities. We'll keep serving the industry strong here in the Northwest.
Beautiful. Greg, I think we need to locate some gangsters around here down at Satco. Go to SATCO.com for the gangsters of lighting, Greg Eric.
There really is no down at because they're all over the place, man. All over the U.S., maybe in Canada too. They're covered. 1.5 million square feet of inventory. Every single light bulb, fixture, part, component you need, Satco's got.
Go to SATCO.com. And I think Brian Amundson just gave best endorsement for Nailed. So go to NAILD.org if you want to join the team. Bye for now.